friends. This year, the past few years actually, but this year has been the year of the refugee. Over the past few months, if you can imagine this, more than 1 million refugees have made their way to Europe, which sort of puts Canada's 35,000 or the United States' 12,000 Syrian refugees into a larger perspective. The world is now home to 70 million refugees, a number that has doubled in the last 10 to 12 years. But of course, for many of us, what's much more compelling than those numbers are the images that we've seen on television and the internet. Images of children being passed through wire fences, of trains full of hungry migrants, of small inflatable boats loaded with hundreds of people, or not, bobbing in the Mediterranean, of lines of people on the marches. They look for refuge going through the Balkans, of Asians in their boats on the way to Australia, or Palestinians turned out of their homes living in camps instead. We've seen the pictures. Even I know something personal about refugees. When I was a child, walking to a parochial Dutch Christian school, kids going the opposite way to the public school across the street used to yell at me and my brothers and sisters, "Dutchie, Dutchie, DP," which means "Dutchie, Dutchie, displaced person." And those kids were exactly right. My parents were economic migrants. They were refugees looking for a better life in Canada, escaping their bombed out Netherlands home. Now, some of you are probably thinking, well, there's no refugees in my family. We've been Canadians for 4, 5, 6 generations. But consider this. Two of Canada's largest immigrant groups historically were the British Empire loyalists who fled the American Revolution and the Irish immigrants who fled the potato famine a generation and a half later. Many of us have ancestors from one or perhaps even both of these groups. And I haven't even mentioned other sources of Canadian refugees. The Underground Railroad to Canada, the 1956 Hungarian Revolution, the Vietnam War resistors who enriched our culture fleeing the United States, or Vietnamese refugees after the fall of Saigon. One has to wonder when the First Nations people of this country will finally raise their hands to all of us newcomers and say, "Enough already." This has been the year of the refugee. It's something to think about during the Christmas season, for not only are we a nation of refugees, but the founder of our religion, Christianity, lived for most of his life as a refugee. According to Scripture, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, as we heard Rindy read, the whole family had to flee to Egypt to escape Herod's political repression. And then a few years later, rather than risk returning to Bethlehem, Joseph moved his young family to Nazareth, which was a Jewish outpost to the north that was outside of Jerusalem's and therefore Herod's successor's sphere of influence. This Jesus, who lived his life as a refugee, grew up to say on one occasion, "The poor will always be with us." But he may as well have said, "The refugee will always be with us." It's a problem that the Bible returns to again and again from Leviticus. "When foreigners reside among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner must be treated as a native born." From Deuteronomy, God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. From Exodus, do not oppress the foreigner. From Kings, do whatever the foreigner asks of you. In the New Testament, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Now this congregation, Lawrence Park Community Church, has responded incredibly generously to Canada's and the world's refugee crisis. We sent, just a year ago now, we sent well over $20,000 to support the work of refugee agencies working in the Middle East, mostly with Palestinians and Syrians. When the government asked, we stepped forward to sponsor a family coming from Syria. We've gathered furniture, we've gathered plenty of money, we've scouted apartments, we've done everything that we could, and our family has not yet arrived. It's been frustrating, especially since we get to speak to our refugee family as they await permission to come while they reside temporarily in Turkey. Still, the price that we have to pay, the waiting, is tiny compared to the price that our refugee family has already paid and all other refugee families pay. This has been the year of the refugee, and where there was no room in the inn in Bethlehem, here at Lawrence Park Community Church, we have committed to being Egypt when Bethlehem is unsafe, and to being Nazareth when powerful in the world prey on the weak. As a church, we have become again and again and again over the past 50 years, we have become a refuge for refugees. And for Christ's sake, I thank you. It's what Christians do. But there's one more thing I want to say. Toronto, like Bethlehem, can be a difficult city when it comes to finding, you know, that heartfelt refuge we all long for. It can be a difficult place to find a safe, welcoming place. Toronto can be a hard place if what you really need is for people to embrace you. Even among long-time residents here in Toronto, there are many who live at loose ends. In his book, Happy City, Charles Montgomery writes, "Social isolation may just be the greatest environmental hazard of city living, worse than noise pollution or even crowding." According to a recent article in the United Church Observer, over 6 million Canadians, that's what, out of almost 40 million people, but 6 million live absolutely alone without any other human contact other than institutional. And then when we want to make friends and when we want to be connected, traffic makes it almost impossible to get around this city during visiting hours. And so then we stay home alone too. Parents have fewer kids than two generations ago. And when those kids grow up, whoa, they move to the other end of the continent and the parents are alone. Happens all the time. We're so plugged into our virtual communities and to our iPhones, but they offer little by way of a glass of wine and a warm hug. Couples juggle two jobs, long commutes, and have not enough time for each other. Neighborhoods in this city, as great as the city is, are still somewhat segregated by income and class and race and ethnicity and levels of crime and quality of education. Prejudice, whether it's on the basis of race or gender or sexual orientation or appearance, is still a struggle for a lot of people. And ultimately, what makes Lawrence Park Community Church a real refuge is not merely the fact that we open our wallets and support a refugee family with money and with volunteer time every 5 or 10 years. No. We are a refuge church because everybody, for whatever reason, is welcome here. Foreign refugees and anybody else. Are you lonely? Are you new to the city? Welcome. Are you gay, transgendered, not sure? Are you spiritually curious, but not orthodox? Welcome. Are you living together, but not married? Are you a single parent? Welcome. Are you wealthy and tired of having someone always wag their finger at you because you're a one percenter? Well, welcome. Are you yearning for a place where people will stop you and look you in the eye and ask you, hey, how are things? You're welcome. For Jesus, the refugee, grew up to say, come unto me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find refuge for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look, I'll be the first to admit that we are not perfect at Lawrence Park Community Church. We're a church that's always learning on the job. Like the citizens of Bethlehem, here we're still figuring out how best to use our time and money and wisdom to make a positive difference in the lives of everyone who needs refuge. But whether you are from Syria or Jane and Finch or Post Road, whether you're a new immigrant or merely descended from one several generations ago, whether you are sure in your faith or full of doubt and misgivings and basically just a searcher, whether you come to this building for Tai Chi classes or for choir or to serve suppers at the Out of the Cold program, whether you arrive on a donkey or in a Tesla, here everyone is welcome. Because at LPCC, at this church, we are committed to being a sanctuary and to making next year here the year of refuge. Amen.